What's up, Aggies? This is Cole Noel here with the Noel Sports Show and a very special guest today, Matthew Lors.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yep. So there's a little struggle planning with Hayden, who's our normal co-host, the number two, because I'm the number one. So this week we're joined with Matthew Lors. He's actually my uncle.
And I just want to point out that, I mean, you'd have to admit that out of all of your shows, I am by far the greatest special guest you've ever had, correct?
Yes, I would agree. Definitely the greatest special guest until we get another one, and then there will be some competition. So yeah, today's going to be fun. I'm excited. Actually, meeting up with Matt today. Here in the TSC, they're giving out free donuts, and I was expecting to find him by the free donuts. But to my surprise, he wasn't. He was composed.
I'd already had some.
Ready? Okay, that explains it. That explains it. So today we got a full show. First, we're going to talk about the bowl game that the Utah State Aggies were invited to this Sunday. And then we'll talk a little bit about Aggie hoops and a couple games that have passed, gone by, and a little bit more predictions for this season. So to start out, for anyone who doesn't know, the Utah State Aggies will be playing the New Mexico State Aggies in the Arizona Bowl December 29th. So what do you think? What are your opinions about this bowl game, Matt?
Well, first of all, I do want to say congrats to the Aggie program for making it to a bowl game. That is impressive, you know, to be able to do that. And to be honest, going into the season, I had them winning 3, 4, maybe
Ouch.
5 games.
Ouch.
So they actually beat my expectations. With that being said, I felt like it was also a little bit of a letdown. And let's be honest, this is not exactly a premier bowl that's going to get a lot of attention.
Yep. No, it's definitely true. So both teams finished the season 6-6. So some are saying it is the toilet bowl.
That's right.
Of the bowl games. But that's fine. We're at least happy to be in. They finished 7th out of 12 teams in the Sun Belt Conference. That's right, the Sun Belt Conference. Might have never heard of it, but that's all right.
Hey, we used to be in that conference for a short
yep,
time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Sun Belt and then the WAC, now we're here. So a little bit of bowl history for New Mexico State. This is actually their first bowl game since 1960, and so that's a 57-year drought. So New Mexico State is probably more happy that they're getting into a bowl game than the fact that they're playing us in a bowl game.
Absolutely, and honestly, it wasn't very long ago. I remember when the Aggies made it to the Idaho Potato Bowl, and they had one of the longest droughts. And I remember the excitement that everybody felt here, the Aggies included. And so I'm sure that New Mexico State is pretty excited about this.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely New Mexico State. I know that they are one of the, you know, lower teams in the FBS, rankings, but that's all right. So like you said, they should be extremely stoked, and we're excited too. It's going to be a fun game. Actually, fun fact for you, the last team they beat in a bowl game was the Utah State Aggies. They beat us 20-13. So definitely a lot of things to look forward to. So Matt, what are your opinions of New Mexico State, and what do you expect this game?
Well, you know, I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised looking at the early line. Actually, New Mexico State is favored by 3.5 points. So
sounds about right.
I guess I'm a little surprised because when you look at the New Mexico wins that they've had this year, obviously they had 6 wins just like Utah State. But honestly, their opponents, their wins were against teams that were even worse than the wins that Aggies had, or the Utah State Aggies
yeah,
had.
That's true.
You look at, I mean, they beat New Mexico in a rivalry game, in a close game, 30-28. They beat UTEP, but UTEP was 0-12 this year. They beat a Georgia Southern team that was 2-10. Texas State, who was also 2-10. They beat Idaho 4-8. And they beat South Alabama Jaguars. honestly, some of these teams didn't even know they had a football program.
Yeah, nothing against them. I'm sure they're great. But yeah, I mean, it definitely shows. So, I mean, it should be an interesting game.
Yeah.
I think it's a game that the Utah State Aggies can definitely win. And maybe that's a good thing for our program. Had we gone against like a Washington State, that some of the analysis were putting us against Washington State, you know, maybe they're in a blowout for our program. And so now maybe we have a chance to win. So that's definitely an upside. A downside, I would say, is just the fact that it is, you know, a game with 2 6-6 teams. And so I don't know how much coverage is going to get. I don't know how many fans are going to get down to that stadium. We hope a lot.
It's going to be tough to get a crowd out there. Again, the combined record of teams that New Mexico beat, their combined record was 15-57. And Utah State wasn't much better, though, sitting there at 22-52 of opponents that they beat. So either way, it should be a good game. When you look at the actual game itself, I think that Utah State on paper is better.
Yeah. So then what's your prediction for a donut? Whoever predicts the closest score buys the other a donut.
You know, I put my prediction, Utah State rolling to a relatively easy win, 38-20 is my final. Honestly, it's going to depend a lot on if we can stop any type of run game. That's been our struggles all year. And if you look at Utah State this year, we're averaging on defense giving up over 200 yards a game on the ground, whereas over the air we're only giving up 180 yards a game. And New Mexico looks like they're actually more of a pass heavy team, so you know, hopefully Aggies can stop their pass and limit their run, and I think that we should be able to walk out there with a pretty good easy victory.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think New Mexico State is such a run team as a pass team, like you said, and so that definitely favors us. And you know that they're going to change that up because our run defense has been pitiful this season. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm going to do, let's see, my prediction. I'm going to give Utah State the 38 points. I'll take you up on that. And then I think New Mexico State will get a little more than that. We'll do 38-25. And the only reason I say that is just because since it is that first bowl game in such a long time for New Mexico State, I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy. And so that's something that we need to be worried about. You know, we do have a history with maybe being a little overconfident going into football games.
And there's been several games this year where we did not come out of the gate ready to play.
That's true.
I mean, you know, looking back at like the Boise State game, which is a game I thought that we'd be fired up for and stuff, we just came out so flat.
No, we did.
And I can see that happening here. And if I think you're right, if that does happen, then it could easily be 38-20 the other way. So
yeah, it's true. And that's a good point. So for your keys to victory, would you say what? Stop the pass game and then just get our offense going?
Yeah, and I think even more so stop their run game, even though they don't run a lot. If they can, you know, get a bunch of yards on the ground, that's going to open up their pass game. And so I think the key still is stopping their run game. And they let Jordan Love get involved early in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the last game of the year. He's been successful throwing the ball down the field. Let him do it. Call the plays for him and let him have fun and air it out deep.
Yep. No, I'm definitely with you on that. And so we'll see if my favorite human being, Matt Wells, if he lets him air it out. I'm sure they will. We've seen this in the past couple of games. Coach Yost, I think, has given more offensive liberty to Jordan Love and his playing abilities. And so we're seeing that. I mean, we did put up quite a few points against Air Force as well. You know, offense was not an issue in that game. Now, it was just our defense. So we'll see what adjustments we make on that spectrum. I think just thinking about it, I actually think it's quite fitting that we do play New Mexico State in this game. I think it's kind of like the bowl committee saying, this is what you deserve.
And yeah, we can't argue with that.
Yeah.
These are two very mediocre teams that beat less than mediocre teams to get in here.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're thinking the only way this is going to be a semi-decent game, either of these opponents playing someone else, is if they play each other.
Yeah.
And, now thinking about that, I could honestly see that. So I hope that's a wake-up call for Coach Wells.
Well, I think it is, because my understanding is on the day that they got the invite, they were starting to sweat towards the end whether they were even going to be invited to a bowl game at all. So I think that they need to recognize this and take advantage of the opportunity that, hey, at least they get to play in one more game and show them why they deserve to be, you know, not picked to finish last next year.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. So what implications is this going to have on the Utah State football program moving forward, whether we lose the game or whether we win it?
Honestly, I don't know that it's going to do
change
a whole
much
lot either way. I mean, I think Wells has done enough already just becoming bowl eligible to keep his job. It's not going to affect that at all. Hopefully, if anything, it gives some of these younger guys an opportunity to, you know, to win a game, a bowl game, and to get a little bit of excitement coming back for next year. Because we do have some young talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that it can necessarily carry over into the next season, but finishing the season 7-6 versus 6-7, there is a difference. You don't want to finish with a losing record. So
yep, it's definitely true. And this might be a stretch. I can't remember where I heard this, but I'm pretty sure Utah State is only losing like 2 defensive starters and 2 offensive starters this season.
I think that's right. I mean, there's a lot of freshmen,
so it's a young team.
Talent.
And so that's something I hadn't thought of before, is just being in a bowl game. Yeah. You know, whether it be New Mexico State or Washington State, these players are going to learn how to play in a bowl game. And it's fun. It's fun for them. They get that excitement, and so they're going to want to go back next year. You know, and so maybe, you know, coaching positions, all that thing with athletic directors, I don't think much is going to change either. I think either way, we might stick with Matt Wells. Well, I think we will stick with Matt Wells, definitely. But maybe for the kids on the football team, this is going to mean a lot more, whether we win or lose.
And for some of these guys, it is their last game ever playing football, you know, competitively. And so hopefully they're excited and they can get their teammates excited and finish strong with
the
win.
Go out with a bang. That's true. Very good points. So, Matt, any other last-second opinions or predictions about Aggie football? We will definitely talk about them more in the upcoming weeks, and especially after their bowl game, a little bit about that. But for now, anything else you'd like to say on our football season?
Nope. It's been a tough year.
That's a wrap.
There's been some ups and downs, and hopefully we'll finish strong.
Yep, definitely. I definitely agree. So now we will make a transition from Aggie football to Aggie hoops. It's been an interesting week and a half since we last had this show. You know, we were extremely excited for that BYU game and extremely let down, I would say.
It's always a letdown losing to BYU.
Yep, it is. It was tough. My friends and I, we were there about 8 hours before game started. We were getting down there on the front rows, and it was a fun game to be at. Great crowd.
It was a great environment for the game.
Yep, definitely. And I actually wanted to talk about that, but first we'll just give a quick little recap of the game. So Utah State did lose to BYU up here in Logan, and the stats were extremely even, to be honest. Everything but one, which we will definitely be talking about. Just to name off some of those stats, turnovers, BYU had 13, Utah State had 15. We each had 35 rebounds. BYU shot 44% from the floor, and Utah State shot 43%. From three, Utah State shot 32%, BYU shot 27%. Utah State had six steals to BYU's 4, 2 blocks to BYU's 4. And assists, Utah State had 10 to BYU's 3. So here's the issue: free throws. We lost it on free throws.
Yeah, when you hear the game comes down to free throws, this is a perfect example of that.
Yep, it's true. And I think that's what made me so furious after this game. To be honest, I didn't talk to anybody after the game for about half an hour. I just sat in my seat and stared and it's just frustrating. Like we said before, our family are huge Aggie fans, and so it hurts anytime we lose, and especially losing to BYU when we finally get them to come up to the Spectrum.
It's been a few years since they've been willing to come up here. Credit to them for whatever reason for agreeing to do so. I'm glad that did occur, but man, losing to BYU, especially when you had an opportunity.
Yeah, more than I think we could have won this game, most definitely. And so here's the catch. Utah State shot 43% from the free throw line.
43%
to BYU's 85%. And whenever you do that, you can't, it's almost impossible to win games when it comes down to the stretch.
Yeah, like you said earlier, I mean, all of the other stats are almost identical. It literally comes down to the fact that, I mean, BYU had 5 more attempted free throws, but again, they shot 85% and we shot 43%. That's the difference right there. I mean, if BYU shoots 43%, we win the game.
Yeah. Well, and just making free throws changes the whole aspect of the game as well and how you play it. Because not only the final score, but for instance, you make your free throws, the score is different. You know, yeah. Utah State is now up 2 instead of down 2.
Yep.
So BYU is playing from behind, and it puts more pressure on them, and they get a little more nervous going into half, a little more nervous going, you know, down to the 10th minute. And so just missing those free throws almost gave BYU that pillow. Does that make sense?
It did, yeah. No, it absolutely did. And, I mean, you're at home.
Yeah.
Utah State is at home.
Yeah.
I mean, their average on the season is already pretty low. It's in the 60s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. So Utah State, historically this season, we're not a good free throw shooting team in general. But
then
that
to be
night,
playing at home, in your own home, in the Spectrum, and then you're the one that shoots 43%.
Yep, we laid a goose egg. A giant goose egg.
Yeah, and that's the thing. With our crowd, with the environment that we had, you'd expect that BYU would have more of the struggles instead of us. And there's really just no excuse.
It's
Nobody
true.
Should ever shoot 43%.
Nope. And so here's actually my theory a little bit. I pondered on this for quite a while. But one of my theories for maybe why we looked like how we, you know, played how we did or how we missed all those free throws was actually that most of the players on our team haven't been in a Spectrum like the Spectrum was that night. I mean, the crowd, shout out to all the students, was electrifying. It was loud. It was amazing. It was fun to be a part of. And I think that almost had a reverse effect on our basketball team. I think we came out of the locker room, we saw the crowd, and we got flabbergasted. We got stunned. You know, so all of a sudden, we're more nervous than the BYU team is.
Yeah.
And our home court advantage definitely played an effect, especially in like the first 10 minutes of that game. BYU looked nervous.
They were so flat. They couldn't make anything.
They were flat. They were scared. They were nervous. And we came out a little stronger shooting from the field, but missing those free throws.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my theories, is that this Utah State basketball team hasn't really played in front of a crowd like that in a long time.
I think that's a good point. I mean, let's be honest. The program has been struggling over the years, and it's been tough to get the crowd out there to support them. And the environment for the BYU game was totally different than what
they've been seeing because
we haven't been consistent, you know, enough to get those crowds out there every time. I mean, for example, the game that we're going to talk about a little bit later against the Anteaters, UC Irvine. Crowd was completely different, you know. It just wasn't there. So yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, to give BYU credit where credit is due, they are a decent team. And anytime you come, and any team that comes to play in Logan, especially any good team, you know, when the crowd shows out, it is difficult. It's going to be hard, and you're not going to play as you normally do. But to give BYU credit, they are a decent team. I mean, they've only lost one game?
They've lost twice.
They've lost
two games. They lost to UT Arlington, but UT Arlington, they're actually 7-1, and their only loss was by 1 point to Alabama. And then BYU also lost to Alabama, who was ranked at the time. So, I mean, yeah, BYU, I think, is a decent team. They've actually looked, you know, pretty good in the games they've played so far.
Yeah, most definitely. And then Utah State, let's be honest, our wins have not been too impressive. And our losses neither. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about this. But something I'm noticing about this Utah State program, and we talked a little bit about it last week, is just our inability to finish these games. It's not like we're getting blown out in any of these games. You know, Gonzaga, we lost by a few double digits. But we were with them for most of that game. So it's just, you know, our inability to win these games that's kind of been frustrating me.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at, I mean, the most critical time of game is second half, you know, the last 10 minutes of the game. And that's where in all of our losses and all of Utah State's losses, they've been right there with every single team, including Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I mean, Gonzaga, with 10:27 left in the game, they were only down 3 points.
Yeah.
And then, man, Gonzaga just ended up going on, I think, like a 17-0 run, and then they end up winning by that much. Same thing with BYU. 10:42 left in the game, it was tied 43-43. Weber State, with only 8:48 left in the game, Utah State was only down by 2 points but could not finish the game. And then against Portland State, we were even up by a point with 6 minutes left, almost 7 minutes left. So again, it's just finishing out the game, just playing to the end and being able to put some points on the board in those final minutes.
Yeah, it's true. And so for all those that don't know, last night we played UC Irvine and we did win that game. We closed it out in good style. And so shout out to the Aggies for that. For me, the only difficulty, you know, going into this is what are we going to do as a basketball program to start winning games down the stretch? Because it kind of looks like every player on the court is looking for someone to step up, you know, but since everyone's looking for someone to step up, nobody does.
Yeah.
So what do you think we need to do as a program to start finishing these games?
Well, I think that part of it has got to be coaching.
Yeah.
And they need to be coaching for those moments, and they need to get some better set plays in these final minutes.
I agree.
I mean, congrats to the Aggies. Yes, they did win last night, barely. It was a close game, came down to the wire. And again, even in that game, we won by 3 points. We did not make a field goal in the last 3 minutes and 34 seconds of the game. We missed our last 5 shots.
It's true. So even though we technically closed out the game with a win, it was pretty ugly.
It was pretty ugly.
And we gave UC Irvine chances.
That's right. And some of those were very poor shot selection, launching threes when a basket would be great, you know, or even getting to the foul line would be great. And to me, some of that is coaching. Some of that is letting the players know, hey, you've got to get it down low. You've got to get it in the paint. You've got to get, you know, just call a play for, you know, for some points or at least getting to the line.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like we look a little nervous, you know, once it comes down to the stretch. And you can't blame them. I mean, I'm obviously a basketball superstar, so I don't get nervous when I play. But you can't blame these kids for getting nervous when it comes down to the stretch. You can't. But the problem is that we've played in too many games like this to not learn from those mistakes and to not start playing well. I'm with you. I don't see very many set offensive plays in the last 5 minutes of the games.
Right.
It's kind of like we're rushing things. We shoot a shot with like 15 seconds left on the shot clock and we're up 5 points. It's like, that's not necessary. Let's wait till it gets 15 and then run our play. And then we'll get a decent shot. And if it doesn't, then you hit that last second shot. But I'm just not seeing that from the Aggies right now. And it's kind of frustrating.
It is frustrating. And I think part of the problem is I don't know that there's any Aggie player that's in that moment like, hey, give me the ball.
Yep.
I want the ball right here. I can do something with it. I think they're still searching for that kind of go-to person.
And I think hopes going into the season was Kobe McCune was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And we've seen him have great games. And he's a very athletic point guard, very athletic. And he's doing great things. The problem is that And he also fires up his team. As I watch him on the court, you know, he gets everyone excited, puts everyone in their position. The problem is that down the stretch, he's getting as quiet as everybody else. And so he needs to really shine in those moments instead of shrink down.
He does. And there needs to be somebody to step up in the event that he can't do it in a particular game. Yeah. Like last night. I mean, he struggled mightily from the field. I think he was 1 for 11 from the field.
Yeah.
And part of that was, you know, honestly, I felt like there was a lot of contact on some of his drives that just weren't being called. I think the refs let it go both ways, though. I mean, to be fair, they let some things go both sides. But yeah, he was having an off game. He struggled. And so there has to be somebody else who can step up in those situations to make a play.
Most definitely. And you know, you also hope that Sam Merrill can be that guy. And he's been phenomenal all season. I think Sam Merrill is more like a consistent just scorer and defender for this team. And I don't know if maybe he's the guy to go to in those moments, but he's maybe the one that needs to start stepping up when no one else does.
And, you know, he missed one of those, you know, again, they missed their last 5 shots. He actually made a nice drive to the basket and just couldn't finish on the layup. I mean, it was contested and stuff. So to his credit, he did actually get to the basket, did get a good shot selection. He just couldn't finish. But overall, throughout the night, Merrill, I think, was our most consistent player.
Yeah, and I think we've also seen that in a couple of games now. And just to point out some other players, Dargenton has been playing really great, in my opinion. I like the way he plays. Also, D'Angelo Isby. I think they're fun players that really want to be in the game, that really want to be involved. And, you know, maybe Dargenton, with his height, he can't compete as he'd like to with some of the bigs that we've been playing against.
Right.
But I like the moves that he does. I like what he's trying to do, moving the ball. So, you know, you only hope that our coach can now pick up on these small things that we're doing well and improve upon him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Isby, you look at his stat line, it's not too impressive, but man, I liked watching him out there on the court. He was hustling all over the place, and I felt like he did a lot of, you know, good things for the team.
Yeah. I mean, he only had 2 points. However, he had 4 assists.
Yeah.
That's more than anyone else on the court. And so, I mean, more points are coming from him than the players that score 9 and have maybe 2 assists.
That's right.
So, and that's another huge takeaway from this game was our assists. So I'm trying to look up the stats here. Yeah, I think we had 16 total assists on only 21 made baskets.
Yeah.
So almost everything we're getting to go is coming from rotation, is coming from moving the ball. And so that's another thing I hope we can really pick up on and move forward into this weekend as we play Utah.
Yeah, I hope so too. A lot of those assists came, you know, cutting to the basket. We got several easy layups because of that. I think that where we're going to struggle and where we have struggled so far is having just a true post presence down there. It's difficult when you don't have somebody big enough that you can just say, post up, let's get it down there and let's get some points in the paint. But again, to the Aggies' credit, they did get a lot of points off of the assists, and several of those points in the paint came from very nice, you know, cutting to the basket and good looks from the players.
Yep, most definitely. So just to recap, Utah State won. They beat UC Irvine last night. So the Aggs are showing a little life in them. However, this week we have a very fun opponent. Saturday we play the University of Utah, who is 6-2 on the season, and actually quite a pretty good team. Their only losses have come to UNLV and Butler. And I think if you're a fan of college basketball, you know those teams are historically very good.
Yeah, those teams are good. I mean, UNLV lost. They did get blown out, but, you know, Utah struggled that game, only shot 35% from the field. I think they only shot 10%. So, I mean, you're going to have some off-shooting nights, and I think you can kind of chalk that loss up to one of those nights where at least that's why it wasn't as competitive as it probably should have been.
Yeah, most definitely. And they beat Missouri, who's 7-2, and Ole Miss, who's 4-3. So maybe a little too early to in the season to tell where Utah is as a basketball program. However, they're looking pretty good, and maybe this Saturday is going to be a really telling game for them. You know, what is going to happen for them going forward in the season? They have 4 guys averaging double digits in points. And so it's definitely a team effort as we play them, and that's gonna try us defensively as a defensive unit.
Yeah, that's, you can't just key in on one player defensively, because they, you know, the scoring is evenly distributed amongst 5 or 6 different guys. You said 4 guys are double digits, and you got 2 or 3 more guys that are almost double digits scoring per game. So it's going to be a challenge, because you can't just key in on one person.
Yep, most definitely. So just to wrap this up, what are some keys for Aggie basketball? What do we need to do this Saturday to come away with a win?
Everybody has got to crash the board. You've got to win the rebounding battle, and it's always going to be harder for the Aggies because we're smaller.
Yep.
And we don't match up size-wise with a lot of programs out there. And so, you've got to have everybody crashing the boards, getting the boards, and limiting the offensive rebounds. You can't give them second-chance points.
Yep, most definitely. So definitely we need to crash the boards, get rebounds. I would also say that we need to start – well, we need to hit our threes. It seems like this season we're a team that lives or dies by the three. So if that's not clicking, it's going to be a long game.
It's going to be a long game.
So we definitely need to say our prayers, do whatever pregame rituals to make sure we're clicking from downtown. But then also build upon what we learned in UC Irvine. Pass the ball. Move the ball around. Get open. Find open guys. Make defensive stops. And then make the bucket when it comes to the offense.
And McEwen is not going to go 1-for-11 again. He can't. He's a great player. I really like him. I think he's so talented. I think part of the problem with him, even last night, it showed he looked tired.
Yeah.
And I think he's missed, 4 or 5 games this year with his ankle injury. I think he's still getting into his game shape. And, one of the keys again to the game is if McEwen is going, then I think we obviously have a better chance.
Yep. I think we most definitely do. And I don't blame him for being tired. It's cold here in Logan. And just last night going up the steps in that basketball game, I was kind of winded. So definitely a little bit of that going around. But we do hope the Aggies can build upon that UC Irvine win and go into this weekend with some heat and beat Utah. So, Matt, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's very fun to have you, and we'll definitely have you back on the show again. So for Noel Sports Podcast, I'm Cole Noel.
I'm Matt Lors.
And we will see you next week. Have a good one, Aggies. 'Cause I ride for my clique. I get live with my clique. Don't get high with my clique.